Hi, this is Zach. Welcome to the Coleraine Connection.
The official
behind the scenes
inside scoop
down Gilead Lane
Funcast.
And now, your hosts, Lori Twitchell and Steve O'Dell.
Bro, ding, Najian.
Wow. Hey, I know how to say the word now. How about that?
You do.
I'm pretty impressed with that. Thank you. This is the long-promised and the long-waited-for Brobding Najian Coleraine Connection Funcast.
Season
Welcome,
10
everybody.
Wrap-up.
That's right. The Season 10 wrap-up. This is going to be a very special episode.
It is.
Yes. I mean, we've had very special episodes of Down Gilead Lane, but I don't know if we've ever had a very special Coleraine
special.
Connection.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know,
that's what this is.
You know how special this is, Steve. You know how special this is.
Well, yeah. Tell the people.
But we spent 3 hours yesterday
yeah,
working on getting this set up so that we knew what we were going to talk about and getting everything together.
Yeah, I don't know if we really should get people's hopes up quite that much. Because I don't know if 3 hours is going to pay off in the minds of our listeners. But you never know.
That's true. And, you know, I actually think that some of the things that we're going to be sharing today are worth that
yes.
they add up to that 3 hours, because people
okay.
are going to be surprised at what we're doing.
Yes, so there's going to be, you know, little factoids and pieces of trivia and the real behind the scenes inside scoop on, you know, every one of these episodes. It's kind of like, you know, the essential thing, the mysterious essential.
Everything you
thing.
Never knew that you wanted to know.
Right. It's not everything you never wanted to ask. Not that.
Right. No. It's everything that you never knew even to ask.
Exactly.
That we're going to give you.
You want to know this stuff. You just don't know that you want to know it.
Exactly. And you don't have a clue that you should ask, what is Mr. Key's favorite treat?
Right. And so instead of waiting for us to have to publish something, we're just going to give it to you right here in the podcast.
Because we're good that way.
That's right.
Sort of instant gratification.
Yeah, sort of. Okay, hey, let's get into it.
Okay, sounds good.
We've been looking at smaller towns like Coleraine to help keep down expenses. I understand you would be willing to offer some help to our ministry if we relocated to Coleraine. Is that right?
Yes, Reverend. That's absolutely correct.
Episode 1 of Season 10 was An Approaching Shadow, and if you remember that, there was just a lot of kind of backing up and looking back over the last several seasons and looking at things that were going on behind the scenes that maybe we didn't hear originally, and
We did that on purpose.
Exactly, right. And it all springboarded from the demolition of Mr. Key's house. All of a sudden, we find out, oh, there's been stuff going on behind the scenes here. So
mm-hmm.
speaking of Mr. Key, you know, kind of like one of the endearing characters of Down Gilead Lane.
Mm-hmm.
He started out as kind of the crotchety neighbor. If we think back in our minds to season one, all the way back to episode 1-4, we hear the crotchety Mr. Key, whose heart is warmed by the presence of a little first grader named Timmy.
Aww.
Yeah. So anyway, so for those of you who haven't, you know, been following Gilead for that long, that's how far back Mr. Key goes. And over the course of time, he became more central to the storyline. We
mm-hmm.
find out, you know, that he knew the Andrews family. He knew Grace and her parents way back before the accident.
He was there.
That's right. He was there. In fact, his name, here's a real inside scooper.
Oh, boy.
His name, Mr. Key, comes from the fact that he was the key to the mystery. He was the one person who knew the truth, you know, who wasn't trying to hide it and cover it up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll bet you the fans didn't know that.
No. We do have one interesting inconsistency that some fans, some real diehard fans, have picked up on about Mr. Key's backstory.
Really?
Yeah, that's
an
yeah.
inconsistency in Gilead Lane. I can't believe it.
Seeming inconsistency.
Oh.
I think we've got an explanation that could work. All right?
Okay.
So, do you remember the episode way back from season 2 called Boring? And you have to say it that way, by the way. That episode ends with kind of people sitting around on Grace's porch, kind of just chewing the fat a little bit, and Mr. Key talks about his days before the war and how he played on minor league baseball team. And they asked him if he continued to play after the war, and he said, well, no, because I met Mrs. Key, and then, you know, I didn't have time.
Right.
And then we find out later on a special,
our ninth special
entitled Heart and Soldier, that's right. That episode is all about the relationship between Mr. Key and Elsie, and it was all kind of happening before the war. So it's kind of like, wait a minute. What's that about? Yeah, well, we know that later in the series, Mr. Key sort of developed Alzheimer's. So it's possible that when they were sitting on the porch talking, you know, on Grace's porch, that maybe he was already starting to have some of the effects of Alzheimer's, maybe.
I don't think it's possible. I think that's what happened.
Oh, okay. So you think that's definitely where we are writing canon right now.
You are the director, and I am the writer.
Uh-huh.
I think so.
Okay, well, let it be so. Any other interesting factoids from this episode?
Well, Mr. Key's favorite snack. It's not in this episode, but it is one of those essential things that every Gilead fan should know.
Yes.
Lemon coffee cake.
Lemon coffee cake, Mr. Key's favorite dessert. Favorite snack? I don't know.
The favorite food? Factoid sheet that I have here says that Mary Morrison always took Mr. Key lemon coffee cake and coffee, which was one of his favorite things ever.
Yes. And we will say that many of these facts do come from the Gilead
book.
Guidebook, the guidebook for writers. We call it our story Bible.
Yes.
And everything that we kind of, now we're going to have to say that he was, you know, we're going to have to add an entry to that Bible now that we've been writing canon here. But
Steve and I actually took notes yesterday.
Yep.
And said we're going to have to remember these notes because what's happening in this podcast is monumental. I'm not sure if you guys know what canon is.
Yeah.
So let's do a little explanation of canon.
A huge gun used in
nothing fort, in Gilead Lane.
Right. Like, you see them at the top of forts, you know, and they shoot at the ships, and the ships shoot back.
Right.
Maybe not that kind of canon, though.
No, it's not that kind of canon. This is the official stories. This is, officially, Mr. Key's house has been knocked down.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to write, say, a fanfic, which we have talked about previously, wherein Mr. Key's house is not there, that would need to be called an alternate universe.
Oh.
Because Mr. Key's house is knocked down in the official story.
Right.
So what we're doing in this podcast, we're creating canon in the podcast.
Wow. So now not only are we going to have to be consistent with our own scripts, but we're going to have to be now consistent with this podcast.
Yes, and that's very unusual to have happen. Usually it's only canon created in the actual story itself. So you guys are getting a very special treat with this podcast.
Cool. All right. Well, let's not get hung up there.
Let's move on. What is the next episode?
Oh, do you realize what's about to happen here?
What?
Monica Richter wants to put her entertainment district right across the street from us.
Exactly.
Whoa.
She's going to put up bars and casinos right on Gilead Lane.
Oh, no.
Episode 2, Choice Morsels.
Choice Morsels.
Yes.
I haven't had breakfast yet.
Does it make you hungry?
It does.
the idea of that that concept for that title comes from a proverb where it talks about, you know, spreading gossip is like choice morsels. Everybody wants to gobble it up.
Yes.
That's
very profound.
Yes, that takes us to the attic and, where we've seen the kids in the past. I think way back when they were trying to solve the mystery of what happened with Grace, they came up with this program called Operation Lemonade. They were going to be these little spies, little secret agents, and try to search out the truth. And that did not go well,
no,
if you remember.
Why did they call it Operation Lemonade?
Well, I think it was because every time they went over to Grace's house, she offered them lemonade. She gave them lemonade. And so
I heard
she
makes good lemonade.
The best. Yeah. It's
really
good. So they kind of associate, you know, Grace with lemonade, and so they called it Operation Lemonade. In later incarnations, it became like the Attic Agents, which I think that's what they were calling it in this episode, Choice Morsels. So it's the same kind of thing going on, and you think these kids would learn, right?
Yeah,
more than once, they have kind of generated their own kind of like investigation of things, and it never goes well.
I can say with some certainty that it's right. very doubtful that any of the Morrisons are going to actually become like secret agents or investigators.
Yeah. Well, who knows? But yeah, it doesn't. That's true. It's not looking that way. It's not looking that way.
No, it's not. What are the other times that the attic agents have met?
Well, like I said, it was there in season four mm-hmm. When they were trying to, you know, come up with the answers that they were looking for. Sneeze the Day and Sunrise Upset, those episodes. There was a lot of that going on.
There was also the episode with the neighbors next door.
Yes, exactly. From season nine, I believe that was. Knock, yeah. knock, who's there?
Who's moving into Mr. Key's house?
And they were actually with their binoculars checking everybody out and trying yes. to come up with their own, you know, conclusions of what's going to happen there. And
now,
that didn't
here's a little trivial
well
question.
Yes.
It's a question for our listeners.
Oh, yes, please.
Has any time that the kids have been the attic agents ever turned out well?
Yes. Has good ever come of any kind of attic investigation that we've had on Gilead Lane? Maybe I'll put a survey on the Funcast blog.
That would be very good, because I'd like to hear what the kids have to say about that, what our listeners have to say about yeah. what has come of this sort of attic agent thing. Do uh-huh. you think the attic agents are a good thing?
Yeah.
There
or
you go.
Maybe not. Okay, let's move on now.
And so continues the ever-exciting adventures of Meteor Guy and Dough Girl. Tune in next time as disaster strikes when Meteor Guy says,
"Where'd the scrambled eggs come from?"
And Dough Girl says,
"That tree, over there."
In the tree? Really? Tune in next time, and remember, never worry, never fear, Meteor Guy's here!
And Dough Girl!
And Dough Girl!
Episode 3 was Coloropolis.
Okay.
And of course, as you remember, everyone, this was another trip to radio station WWW and an exploration into another genre of old-time classic radio drama. In season 9, of course, we had the showdown, which was a Western. This was more of a superhero kind of thing. And
yes.
we had a lot of what we would call, I guess, like cliches, movie cliches that
yes,
you,
we did.
A lot of times in those kind of action movies, you get these certain things that seem to happen over and over.
Somebody always twists their ankle.
Yeah.
You know, there's always
seems like there's always a dog or a cat in distress.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, here's another question. We're kind of putting the onus for this on the fans.
Good. Supply your own content.
Yeah. What other cliches did you guys find in the Coloropolis episode?
Yes, we can make it a game show. Name those cliches.
Yeah, we'd like to hear from you. We will take your submissions. You can
yes.
send them by email. You can uh-huh. put them on the website if you want, and then we'll discuss them in the next podcast.
There you go.
You know, if you can think of anything specific where you've seen some of these other cliches, go ahead and include that too.
Sounds good. You know, you can always email us at ccfuncast@gileadlane.org, or you can call our comment line.
We'd love to hear you.
Yes, we want to hear your voice and your thoughts on movie cliches and attic agents and all that good stuff. So that's 877-937-5397. We'll say the contact info again at the end of the podcast.
That's right. So really, that's the big stuff we had to discuss, because we went back to WWW and
yeah.
second time that we've done that. Now we did, this was an episode where as soon as we came up with the concept of WWW.
Yes.
We,
all of a sudden, it was like, this is a great storytelling device. We can get into these different, you know, genres. And Lori and John got pretty excited about that idea.
We did.
In fact, it kind of became Lori and John's battle for the genres. Because
it
as
did.
Soon as we said Western, the next one was superhero. And they just about went at each other with who's going to get
well, we
to
were on the phone, so we couldn't really like go across
well,
the table at each other.
And that's
you know,
probably a good thing.
Wrestle or anything like that. But yeah, and as you all know now, since it's history, I
yeah.
ended up getting to write Coloropolis. The reason being that Mr. Fornoff got to write the Western.
Yes, and I'm glad that, you know, they didn't have to arm wrestle over it or anything like that.
That would have been hard from Colorado Day. Yeah.
That's true, right. So there's a little bit of trivia on that episode. It was a good show, just kind of about the transition and the development of Tim's character going from the baby of the family to being a big brother. So that was cool.
Which can be difficult, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Marcy, take care of yourself. Get some rest, and hopefully you'll feel better soon. And hey, I'll be praying for you.
Yeah, sure, whatever. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Hey, Brooke?
Yeah?
Thanks. Really.
You're welcome.
Episode 4. What was the name of episode 10-4, Lori?
I think that would be 10-4, good buddy.
That's right. And that was cool because we sort of left Coleraine a little bit. Actually, no. I mean, we kind of bounced
back. Part of
back
that story
forth.
Still took place in Coleraine.
That's
with
true.
Haley and Hope.
Hope, yeah. But we also headed down to Mexico. And the cool thing about this one was bringing back the Marcy character.
Yes.
Back in Shades of Chartreuse from season 9, we introduced Marcy and Molly, and they were well received, right?
They were, and people have been asking a lot. They really wanted to follow those storylines with Marcy and Molly,
yeah.
And so it was a neat way to do that and to see a little another glimpse of what it's like for Brooke at college.
Yeah, yeah. And just as far as the added value, the two scoops of inside scoop for this one.
Can it make two little scoopy sounds?
No. Well, oh, okay. Maybe we... I think Cal's got that a sound effect for that he put in here. Anyway, two scoops of inside scoop. Molly and Marcy, just a little exploration of their backstory from the story Bible. You know, they're from a broken home, divorced family, and... just kind of, they're an opportunity for us to kind of explore what that looks like for many, many families out there.
It is. And, you know, we have had divorce in Coleraine before, as you all remember.
Right.
With the Taylors.
Right.
But and the difference
five,
here is...
Season 5 really explained, you know, that dynamic. But it was different than, you know, Marcy and Molly's family in that, you know, it's not like one parent just left and disappeared. You know, Molly and Marcy have got to contend with, you know, the reality of kind of going back and forth and just the visitation, custody, all that kind of stuff. And that's a very real struggle for a lot of people.
It is. And, you know, part of this story, I don't mind telling this. And if you think this is too much information, just feel free to cut it.
Okay.
Part of this story came from my own story because my parents were divorced when I was 13. And things were very different at my house. You know, we talked about how the Taylors, basically Joan Taylor just left.
Yes.
But at my home, I had to deal with visitation every other weekend.
Yep.
And it was culture shock for me because I had one
very
parent.
Very different homes.
Yes. I had one parent who was a regular church attender and very actively involved at church. And the other parent wanted nothing to do with any of that and actually kind of poo-pooed the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And it can be a struggle.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have heard other stories from kids who deal with that same sort of thing. They get a completely new set of rules at
every
one
time
parent's
they go to,
house.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's like culture shock. You really have to deal with all of that. So we thought that would be an interesting dynamic to include and the effect that can have on kids.
Yeah. Hey, so anyway, yeah, Lori, just before we move on, I just, you know, thank you for kind of opening up and sharing that part of your story. And it's not to say that you are like a direct, you know, reflection of Marcy or Molly.
I am not Marcy or Molly.
Right. But you kind of know that world and kind of that struggle of what you just talked about. So that's cool.
I do. And that was really tough. And we just thought it would be interesting to introduce that. And, you know, I think it was, I think it really touched people because they really liked Marcy and Molly. And so this was a chance to get to see how are things progressing after Shades of Chartreuse?
Yes, and I think that sometime in the future we probably will revisit either Marcy or Molly. I mean, we kind of left things open-ended there.
We did.
So sometime you might see them show up again, and we might even explore a little bit of their world. So
sounds good.
So they signed them, and we're done?
Sort of.
Sort of? What?
Your father's brother. He'd like to meet you first.
What?
He asked if he could meet and spend some time with you tomorrow. He asked if you could have lunch with him.
Anyway, moving on, we are now just about to the halfway point in season 10 because we're going to lump episodes 5 and 6 together, Sandcastles in Storms and Is God in Pittsburgh.
Right, because really they are just one episode that we cut in half. I mean, it's one story.
Right, and it's all about Hope's backstory. And here again, a little bit of sort of trivia. I mean, there's a lot more that we have kind of hammered out about her backstory than what we've actually, you know, gone into in an episode.
Mm-hmm. We do know. We do know these things. We're not writing it as we go.
Right.
We have a plan.
Yes.
And so there is stuff about Hope that we know that, well, you guys don't.
Right.
And keeping that in mind, one of the things about Hope that we don't know a whole lot about, we didn't know a whole lot about, was her father.
Right. And so, yeah, a couple of those different scenarios that we had regarding her father, I mean, there was one incarnation where, you know, he hadn't died, but he was still kind of alive out there and kind of unable to be found. And so we were going to possibly kind of just deal with that reality that he may show up some point and say, I want her back, you know?
Exactly. That's that's exactly what we had talked about, actually, was, you know, having him be a roadblock to the Morrisons adopting Hope.
Right.
And we changed our minds on that one because we really wanted to sort of clear the way, because we know that Hope's mom did give up her rights.
Right. Yes. So anyway, yeah, we wanted to make sure that there was at least, you know, some measure of closure for Hope so that the adoption could be, like so that could happen.
Yes. We really felt that Hope needed a little bit of stability. And
right.
It was a neat chance and a neat way to explain everything and to still give Hope some family who cares about her, because we have Uncle Rob.
Right. And I think that's really, really cool that there is some, you know, family maybe that she just didn't know about, but they're, you know, family beyond, you know, just the Morrisons, and something that she can kind of call her special, you know, kind of relationship.
So we left her some pieces of that. And we also used this episode to insert some trivia from the wonderful city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Right. And the interesting thing about that was way back in season 9, the episode, I believe it was A Story of Grace and Hope, there was just like this little throwaway line, you know, just kind of like out of the blue. Like, what does that mean? It's just a kid being random, where Hope says, is God in Pittsburgh? And Grace is like, well, you know, it doesn't say Pittsburgh in the Bible, but it does say everywhere. So, and so we decided that we would kind of use just that seemingly throwaway line as a springboard to kind of be something a little more significant for Hope, meaning, you know, she's got family she never knew about in Pittsburgh.
Yes, and we did talk about the titles on this a lot. We had a lot of different title ideas. There was a very popular movie that came out a very long time ago called The Fish That Ate Pittsburgh. And when we were writing that Noah story, we went round and round about the possibility, since we included a wonderful shout out to Pittsburgh.
You mean Jonah?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, where he got swallowed by the big fish.
Right, right. Yes.
Yeah. So we thought we might be able to do something like that. And there's just a little more trivia from your brainstorming sessions that we had.
Yep. And why Pittsburgh as opposed to, you know, like Dallas or Toledo or Colorado?
Because
why Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh has the Steelers.
Okay, yes, now it all makes sense.
If anybody has any doubt about who I root for when the NFL season comes around,
they don't listen to the podcast.
Exactly. They have no clue, because our house is black and gold for the fall season. And it's been very difficult for me transitioning to Texas, where everything is silver and blue.
Yes,
you know,
I'm sure.
It's Dallas Cowboys people down here. Right. So, but seriously, I mean, Pittsburgh, everybody knows Pittsburgh. Everybody is well aware of Pittsburgh. And it just, the fish that ate Pittsburgh was actually part of that in that brainstorming session with the Jonah story.
Right.
We said, wow, you know, there was a movie called The Fish That Ate Pittsburgh. So we had to throw the Pittsburgh line in there. And of course, that made me happy. And for those who don't know, Mr. Fornoff grew up as well just outside Pittsburgh in a town called Mars.
Strange coincidence.
Yes.
Like,
so Mr. Fornoff and myself both grew up, didn't know each other.
Who would have known?
Never would have realized bizarre. That. So there's all that you never wanted, knew that you wanted to know.
There you go.
Yeah, so Mr. Fornoff is a born and bred Martian. And I can
John,
say that because I've been to Mars. I've been through Mars multiple times, many times.
Yes.
So there you go.
I hope that he realizes that that's a term of endearment.
I think that he, I actually yes. think that he will, because when we wrote this, when I wrote this episode and sent it off,
yeah.
he sent me a personal note. Oh, Steve doesn't even know this. He
Uh-oh.
Sent me a personal note saying, I grew up in Mars, just outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And he said, I loved all of the Pittsburgh references that you put
cool.
in here. So I know that, that John will be okay with that.
Right. All right. So one last thing though, with these episodes.
Yes.
The mom story. You know, we've talked a little bit, you know, just a couple of references to Hope's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we had some flashbacks in our Thanksgiving episode to Hope's grandma.
Yes.
And now, of course, from these episodes, we know a lot from, you know, about Hope's biological father.
Yes.
But what about her mom? What about her biological mom? There's some mystery. There's a little bit of fogginess surrounding that character.
A little bit of intrigue.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to give much here, but maybe we could open put another question out there somewhere and say, what do you think?
I love that idea. We have talked about Hope's mother at
yes.
length.
Oh yeah.
And we have shared a lot of these things amongst ourselves and the creative team.
Yep.
But
and there
I
have
would...
been some theories that have come in, but I'd really like to know more of what our listeners think.
Yes.
Is the deal with Hope's mom.
So, you know, if you have an idea of what, you know, and the thing is, it's still a little flexible here.
Yeah.
So, since we haven't shared it officially as canon.
Right.
So if you guys have an idea of what you think that Hope's mom might be like, where she might be, why might she have given up
right.
her parental rights? Why don't you just send it in? We would love to hear it. We'd love to hear some of your theories. And, you know, you can send it in or you can make that nifty phone call and tell the world yourself.
That's right. 877-937-5397.
You're pretty good at that. You have the sticky
call
note
now.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to episode 7.
Okay.
All right.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Hey. Oh, mud all over.
I'm sorry. I can't see. I'm sorry. Oof. Hey, watch what you're... What are you doing? You've got mud all over your face.
Just trying to get to the pool.
The pool of Siloam? Well, it's right there.
I'm sorry. The pool. I need to find... the pool. I can see? Is that light? I can see. I can see!
Mud pies and blind eyes.
Which, you know, the title is a big one on this one, too.
Yes.
Because you guys have no idea how many times that Mr. Odell and Mrs. Ritchie rein me in and say, no, Lori, we're not going to let you do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead. Go ahead and tell our faithful fans what the title of this episode almost was.
Here's mud in your eye.
Yeah, there's one.
Or God spits.
I just would love to have heard Zach say today's episode.
God spits?
Because he's got to say it with a question mark, you know.
Or does God spit?
Right. That would have been interesting, but we decided to go a different
route. I really thought it would have been intriguing because you guys are all bugging us about the titles, and this was really the first season that we officially put out the titles for you guys to hear before the season started. Usually it was kind of a leaked thing, and it would get online somehow. But I really thought it would have been intriguing to see how you guys go, wait a minute, what could this possibly be about?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but no, that kind of, again, you guys have no idea how many times that Mr. Odell and Mrs. Ritchie need to rein me in and say, no, Lori, you just can't go there.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, she also helps us to kind of like stretch our comfort zones a little bit too. So it goes both ways.
That's a good thing, yes.
Yeah.
It's a growing thing.
So more trivia about this episode, which, by the way, I really was passionate about this episode because
yes.
I happened to be in the middle of the Gospel of John. I was reading the Gospel of John when we were brainstorming this, and just something about that story about the man blind since birth just really impacted me.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll come back to that. An interesting point of trivia about this episode is that a lot of people, I think, probably identified and picked up on this, but the parents, the people who played Matthias's parents, were the same actors who played Mr. and Mrs. Townsend, who we got to know in episode 9, which we'll be talking about in just a minute.
Which is very cool.
Yeah, yeah. They were there because we were recording both those scripts on, you know, at the same recording session. And I was like, how would you feel about also playing these characters? You know, and they were totally up for it, and they did a great job. And another interesting little point of trivia is that the actors who play Bill Mincer and Reverend Brodsky, yeah, they played two of the Pharisees that were in that Bible story as well.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Now, see, I didn't even know that. That is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so was that a specific choice to have them playing the Pharisees?
Oh, you're asking if there was, like, some purpose behind that?
Yes.
Creative?
I mean, like, why didn't you have him play the blind man?
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, for some reason, it just kind of seemed like it fit to have those people play Pharisees. But that's all I'll say. Also,
yeah, because Steve's not going to let me tease anything this podcast. I just thought I would let you know that we already had that discussion yesterday. I'm not allowed
not
to
teasing,
tease anything yet.
This is not teasing what is to come. This is, you know, exploring what has already occurred.
That's true.
Anyway, but also another interesting casting choice, and this was turned out to be pretty cool. Captain Cal, you know, Cal Olson, who's actually engineering for us right here on this podcast today. He and his wife, they played a couple characters in this episode as well. So a couple of voices in there that you know or that you know of.
That
and
is
now you
really
actually can
cool.
connect the dots and know who they are. So the message of the story was, you know, I just really was passionate about just the idea that, you know, God lets things happen or even maybe causes things to happen that we don't want. You know, they kind of lead to suffering.
Or that we can't understand, but that we still try to understand. We had this discussion yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not common, at least I don't think, for people to say, what sin do you have in your life that these bad things are happening?
Right.
But we still very often hear, what lesson is he trying to teach you?
Right. So we don't say it out loud.
Right.
You know, like what is the sin in your life that is causing this? But we kind of, that sort of, you know, is in us. Well, what am I doing wrong? Or what is that person doing wrong?
Or somebody else might even say, what lesson are you supposed to be learning right now? Because I've heard that too. And that's kind of the equivalent of the same thing. I mean, it can be,
but I think, and nobody really says,
sometimes that lesson might not be for me.
Right. And nobody really says, please, Lord, bring suffering into my life because I want you to be glorified, you know?
Right.
Nobody really asks for it, but that's the result. I mean, Jesus said in this case and later on, his next miracle was raising Lazarus from the dead, you know, where he could have gone sooner and healed Lazarus so he never died. But Jesus said, this is so that my Father will be glorified, so that he'll receive the glory. And it was the same thing for the blind man. So anyway, that's something to keep in mind when we face suffering is, you know, God, how can you be glorified in this situation? That was a great episode.
And the next episode is really tasty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were going to, seems like you had a great recipe you wanted to talk about for this one, didn't you?
Right, yeah. I mean, we at our house, we like to use this with pizza.
And for me, you know, it's pretty much standard. I don't go with French. I don't go with Italian or Catalina on my salad. It's always ranch. But
that's the same with
lately,
me.
What's that?
That's the same with me.
Yeah. Lately, I've had to kind of go for the, you know, low-fat ranch, which not quite as flavorful, but...
Right. But, I mean, it still kind of works. I mean, there's just a very specific flavor to that.
Hey, whoa, wait a minute. I just looked at the our list of titles here. It's ranch blessing.
It's not ranch dressing?
No, not dressing.
Are
blessing.
You sure? Because see, I didn't write this episode, so I didn't, you know.
Yeah. Yep. I'm sorry. We could have Cal edit here, but let's just keep on going.
That's a Lori Steve moment.
It's just a little blip. It was ranch blessing. I think that might have been a play on words.
That could have been.
Yeah.
It could have been.
Now, take Joe for a little walk.
Hey, I think I'm getting the hang of this.
Good job.
Hey, what's that? A rattlesnake? Whoa, Joe. Whoa. jump. Where are the brakes? Watch out for that fence. Oh. Watch out for the chickens. Watch out for the... Whoa! Oh, pond. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Now, interesting little factoid. Again, going to our writer's guide, story Bible, whatever you want to call it. Uncle Tommy, you know, he's mentioned back in season 8, I believe. Or was it season 9? I think it was season 8.
I don't know.
Anyway, yes, it was. Season 8, we first hear about Uncle Tommy.
Yes.
And is it all right if I just read a little excerpt from the Down Gilly Lane story Bible?
I'm going to guess that our fans would be absolutely thrilled if you would read directly from the story Bible.
Okay. All right, so here's a... here's some excerpts. Let me see if I've got this... If I've got the right excerpt here. Mary Elizabeth James was born on March 27th. She was the third child in a family of 7 children growing up in a Wisconsin college town. Nobody knew that until now. All 6 of her siblings were boys. Mary's mom, Elizabeth, stayed at home with her small brood while Professor Michael James, we've heard that name before, Mary's dad, taught history at the State University. Mary's brothers, for the most part, doted on Mary. Even though she was the object of much teasing, all 6 of the boys would have fought lions for her. Mm. They were a rowdy bunch, and there was definitely never a dull moment at the James household.
Mm-mm.
Not only were there 7 children, all very close in age, but rarely a day passed without somebody's friend stopping by, sleeping on the floor, or staying for dinner.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to skip down a little bit. That kind of sets you up on... The family life, the home that, you know, Mary kind of grew up in.
Yeah, a little bit about how Mary can handle the 5 kids. Well, 6 now.
Yeah, right. And then skipping down a little bit further, here's an interesting paragraph. Mary always had a special spot in her heart for her little brother, Tommy.
Ooh.
And she was the only one he really listened to. Her opinion meant the world to him. The problem was, Tommy had a really hard time with their mother, and so did Mary. That gave them a bond. The other boys didn't struggle at all with their mother. She was their mom, and she took care of them, and she was sometimes a little flighty, but they loved her to pieces. Mary was very hard on her mom because she was very much a girl, very feminine and traditional and conservative, and Mary was more influenced by the men in her life. Aside from her mom, her known world was comprised of males. So that's not to say that Mary was a tomboy, because that's addressed also in the story Bible, which I'm not going to get into, but... She was more, she was more intellectual, and she lived in that academic world more on her father's side of things. So that's also the direction Tommy went. So here we are in Ranch Blessing, and Tommy is now like a counselor for troubled, you know, youth and teens, and he's got this special ranch, which is kind of like an away, like a retreat for teens to go to kind of work through their issues, and how God used that in the life of Justin is really cool. And we kind of get a little bit of that in this episode, although this episode really focuses more on Michael and just kind of getting alone and, you know, those kind of issues. But we get the context of Uncle Tommy's ranch, and Uncle Tommy was referenced in season 8 as being Justin's favorite uncle. And did you know, Lori, that Justin's middle name is Thomas?
I knew that, but I'm not quite sure the fans did.
He was Uncle Tommy's namesake.
Very, very cool. So it's neat the way that that all turned out. And, you know, all of that was in the story Bible.
Yep.
Long before we introduced Uncle Tommy to the fans.
Right,
all those things that are in there that you guys don't know.
Like way backstory.
Like generations of Morrisons.
Yes.
Kind of thing. And generations of James family.
And forsooth, Jan Lorry, wilt thou explain the 9th in the season of 10?
Yes. What sound through yonder microphone breaks? It is the Odell. In
yes.
the day. This would be...
Indeedly.
Indeedly.
Yes, this is episode 9. Which was going through the motions where we hear Anna...
The Townsends.
...as a thespian.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know anything about.
And that he will in 3 days be made a doctor.
He... Father?
Yes. Did he not tell you?
No, indeed. Who told you?
Mr. Purgon.
Does Mr. Purgon know him?
What a question. Of course he knows him, since he is his nephew.
Cleante is the nephew of Mr. Purgon?
Okay, so the cool thing about this episode was that it really focused on, you know, Anna Townsend. You know, I mean, she's kind of been a, oh, I don't know what you'd call it, not a central character, sort of like a peripheral character. But she goes all the way back to, you know, season one.
In the very beginning.
Yeah, way in the very beginning. In fact, yeah, the first script of Gilead that was written incorporated Anna Townsend. She, like you, Lori, is an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved back into town to, you know, take over working for the candy shop, Auntie May's Candies.
Mm-hmm.
And but we don't know much more beyond that about Brent and Rachel. So
no, we really don't. We do know that Anna's going to marry Mike.
Maybe. Was that canon?
At least in Timmy's dream.
All right. Okay. So in the canon of Timmy's dream, that happened.
Which is unofficially canon. The only reason that we made that episode a dream was so Steve, we would have space to mess.
Yes.
We don't get them all locked into that sort of thing. That's kind of a bunny trail, but it's still something to remind you of. It was okay. Anna Townsend who married Mike in Tim's weird dream on Christmas.
Right, which means nothing.
It means nothing at all. It's sort of trivial, but it's still part of the Brobdingnagian podcast.
There you go. All right, but tell us a little bit from the story Bible.
Yes, we
about,
have...
About the Townsends.
The Townsends. We have Brent and Rachel. They met in college, and she's a year younger than him. They got married when he was 24, and she was 23, and they had Anna 3 years later.
Okay.
Brent got a job right out of college. He lived in their they lived in their college town as she finished school, actually. Uh-huh. So right after her graduation, they got married. They were a young, struggling couple. They never really were extremely well off like the Richters.
Right.
But they were very in love. Uh-huh. And when they had Anna, the financial stress that Brent felt sort of increased.
Right.
He didn't want to just give Rachel everything. He wanted to also provide for Anna as well. And the problem was that Brent never openly talked about this with Rachel. He just wanted to make things right. So they didn't really discuss things. Yeah. And so they really liked Coleraine. And so, you know, when his aunt passed away and gave him the store, even though his wife was a little bit not sure what to do.
Yeah.
He decided he wanted to get out of the big city because they were living in a big city.
Yeah.
And she liked the big city. Rachel did. And so she wasn't quite sure about leaving and going to Coleraine, but that's...
And there was also, like, stability and security issues, and, like, it's kind of risky to,
a small town.
Yeah.
Who knows if the small town would accept the new owners of the candy store.
Right.
No telling. Right. So there was a little bit of pull and tug there, and you know, the fact that she liked the big city might also explain part of what happened in this episode.
Right.
You know,
I mean, we've seen her kind of really be drawn to the kind of power and personality of the Richters, you know, and just kind of that whole trying to make something happen regardless of what it takes.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems to be
and
there.
And I think that's part of that big city mindset.
Yeah.
There's a lot of standards and a lot of things you got to keep up with. So,
right.
So there's that little piece of stuff for trivial things. Anna has a cat and a dog.
Oh.
She lives in the attic, which is even above the above part of the candy store.
Right, right.
And that's the trivial little things that Lori is inserting.
All right. We're in the home stretch now. Looking at, I guess... This is now bringing out disc 4 of the Down Gilead Lane season 10 CD set.
Okay.
Little plug there. If you haven't gotten yours yet, you know, you
might
want to
do that.
Call our order line or go to shopcbh.org and get your own season 10. Anyway, sorry, I digress.
And then he said that the only reason he was going out with me was because I was popular. And I thought he liked me.
I'm so sorry, Tiffany. I'm so sorry that this has happened. I wish that I could do something to make it better for you. I just don't know how.
Daddy, how did you know?
What?
How did you know he didn't really like me? You knew something was wrong. What was it?
Oh, well, that I... It was just that he didn't seem to talk about you the way that he should.
Episode 10 is called Love is a Many Splintered Thing.
Yes.
Nice title.
Mm-hmm. That's a play on words from, and, you know, Love is a Many Splendored Thing.
Right, right. Which, if you don't know that song, just ask your parents. They're, it's kind of, yeah. Anyway, again, not real Morrison heavy on this one.
No.
Because we're focusing a little bit on the Richters again in this one.
Yeah, and you know, I've said this before, but I will say it again.
Yes.
I love focusing on the Richters.
Yes, I know you do.
I think they're a very interesting family.
Yep.
I think sometimes it's fun to write them because the Morrisons always seem to have the answers.
Yeah, I mean, there's drama in that idea of a house divided.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's just naturally, there's just going to be drama there.
And I enjoy the characters. I think they're really, really great characters. And that might be a little bit of foreshadowing for the next season, which I'm not really allowed to do. But I do enjoy writing for the Richters, and I think this was a fantastic episode.
Yeah, it was cool. Looking at sort of two sort of concurrent stories, you've got, you know, Tiffany and Randy, and then you've also got, in a not romantic way, Hope and Rocky.
Right, because Hope's a little young for the romance thing. Boys are still icky.
Yeah, right. So... The Randy Brodsky character, you know, originally, here's an inside scoop from the brainstorming meeting.
Yes.
One of the things that we had sort of kicked around with Randy is that his younger brother was going to be Rocky.
And that Rocky was new to school.
Right.
It was going to be Randy and Rocky Brodsky.
So we were going to have that parallel be kind of on that level as well.
Very specific parallel there, but we opted against that. Would you like to tell me why?
Yes, because of the age of Reverend Brodsky, Ivan Brodsky. He's, you know, kind of an older gentleman. We just kind of thought to have a kindergartner where he is at in life, just, you know, he's just kind of too old to have a kindergartner. So we decided that a high school senior, being Randy, would have to be his youngest kid.
Yes.
Which begs the question, are there other Brodsky children? Does Randy have older brothers or sisters that we have not yet met? And that's an interesting question.
He does.
He does?
I say so.
Okay, canon it is.
Is he? And that just happened because I don't think that Steve knew that we were going to do that, but yes.
No, I didn't.
I say so, and so it is. But seriously, I mean, if he's the youngest in his family as a senior in school, it would not be out of line to believe or to find that he has older brothers and sisters who are married.
Yep.
Perhaps nieces and nephews.
Perhaps.
The biggest question that I have here, now that we have created this canon, will those family members be moving to Coleraine? Will we meet them at some point?
Or could they possibly already be there?
Yes.
Hmm.
Are we going to hear any more Brodskys?
Well, I don't know.
So,
I mean, literally, I really don't know.
No, because Steve didn't know that there were more Brodskys.
No, right.
Here's a question for you, Steve. It's your chance to create canon.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Have we mentioned? I don't think we have. Is there a Mrs. Brodsky? Or has she disappeared somewhere else?
I do not believe that we have ever referenced a Mrs. But I would think that either... I would think at some point, well, Reverend Brodsky has to have been married if he's got kids.
Well, but, yes, but is she passed away? Does she live somewhere else? What is the story on that? So
it
here's your chance, Steve. You want to create canon or do you want to let the fans just wonder?
I would rather let people just wonder.
Steve's not really a big fan of creating canon on the fly.
Not in public. I create my canon in private.
There you go. So what do you guys think? Do you guys think there's a Mrs. Brodsky? Do you think we just haven't seen her yet?
There's another good question,
Because, you know, it is possible that there's a Mrs. Brodsky and she's just being kept under wraps or she's been busy with moving to town, you know, all that kind of thing. Because, you know,
setting up shop.
Yeah, it's a little stressful doing that. So is there a grand lady of Peace of Heaven?
Right.
That we have yet to meet? Because I'm thinking, you know, what we've seen of Reverend Brodsky so far, he is kind of the grand guy. He's the big man you know, in charge of things. So his wife would be the first lady of.
Hmm. Okay. Another interesting thing about this episode was it brings back the event that has been referenced in the past, which is the Coleraine Spring Ball.
Yes.
And in fact, the entire season 5 sort of revolved around that event.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you have a little bit of context on Tiffany's kind of previous relationship, if you will,
yes,
with the Spring Ball, maybe that kind of adds a little bit to this episode.
Why don't we go ahead and
just kind of roll a little clip from an episode in season 5 where that is explained a little bit.
For the first time in as far back as any of us can remember, our queen wasn't on the ballot. She was a write-in.
I knew it!
And because she was a write-in, Principal Garza said she weighed the 8th requirement.
I told you, bro.
So, when you see her in the hallway today, King Radley, Coleraine's new queen of spring.
You don't have to wait for the hallway.
What?
Oh, that's great!
Rebecca,
that's awesome!
Thank you, Lizzie. And congratulations, Rebecca. And thank you to all those who counted the votes this weekend. Keep up the hard work.
Rebecca Taylor, you rigged that vote.
No, I didn't, Tiffany.
Yes, you did.
She wouldn't do something like that, Tiffany.
And what's that supposed to mean, Brooke? I'm going to talk to Mother about this. And you're not even a junior yet.
So, interestingly, that is from season 5. We're now discussing the, you know, end of season 10. So, it was like half the series ago.
Mm-hmm. We're halfway through down Gilead Lane.
Right. Halfway through to where we are now, not to where we're ever, you know, going to be. But just kind of interesting that half the series ago is the last time we really heard about the Spring Ball. And here it is again in season 10.
Exactly. And, you know, for those of you naysayers who believed that we forget storylines, we open them up and we don't finish them.
Uh-huh.
There you go. We remembered a storyline from all the way back in season 5 and we brought it back to you.
There you go. I wouldn't say that was necessarily an unfinished storyline.
No, but
it's still open that Tiffany
wanted to do that. And
that's true.
We kind of gave Tiffany that opportunity, but it wasn't all it was cracked up to be, was it?
Isn't that interesting? We gave her what she wanted and turned out to not be all she dreamed.
Kind of
sad.
Horrible.
Yeah. On that note, let's move on now to the big finale of season 10, which was the two-part... Yes, thank you very much.
You have nothing to fear, Grace. We are going to fight this one way or another. And we're going
to... John, you need to know. I'm ready to give up my house.
Give up?
Oh, Grace. God's been preparing me for the last few weeks. He's reminding me that I need to hold things lightly.
Brobe ding nagian. Brobe ding. Sorry.
That's the only way that Steve could learn how to say that word, by the way.
Yeah. Right.
Was to break it down into syllables and have us chant it.
Thank you. Thank you. Hold Lightly, the big two-part season finale of season 10, is all about what is going to happen to Gilead Lane and specifically to Grace's house. We kicked around a lot of ideas to answer that question. Didn't we?
I think that we did, yes.
When we were brainstorming, seems like I think we did toy pretty seriously with, are we going to say this?
I think that you're already far there, you should just take the leap, my friend.
We really did think seriously about, you know, demolishing Grace's house right there at the end of the season. You know, very similar to how we ended season 9.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it. I mean, we had it. I'm calling it up right now, but I do my my brainstorming notes by date.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And my brain.
What was the date that we brainstormed this?
It was 1/3.
So January 3rd.
Because I was talking yesterday, if you recall.
Happy New Year! Let's smash up Grace's house. Sorry.
Yeah, I was talking yesterday about how I categorized them by the dates where we brainstormed, and I thought that it was episodes 1 through 3 instead of
instead of January 3rd, right?
But what we have in here is let's destroy Grace's house, condemn it, and just do it, and end on that note.
Right.
And the fans are now saying, "Wow, I'm really glad you guys didn't do that."
Yeah, so if you didn't like how the season ended, it could have been a lot worse.
It really could have been. And, you know, we did choose the way that it ended for a very specific purpose.
And what was that?
Well, we wanted to show people how the characters have grown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How the characters have changed. Because we had a very similar ending last season. We all know that. We were very well aware that we had done that. And the fact is that it did end event-wise similarly.
Yeah.
With, you know, bulldozers running towards the house and we don't know exactly what's happening. But it was so different on the emotional level, on the character's
and,
level.
And, hey, can I just say, and maybe I've said this before, but Karen Levine, the actress who plays Grace, she, you know, she told me in this recording session, I mean, like with, you know, kind of tears welling in her eyes, thank you for this message. Thank you for reminding us of how we need to hold everything with open hands, you know, how we need to hold lightly to the things that, you know, ultimately are from God. Our house, our family members, you know, relationships, our jobs, like all of it is from God. And we are stewards. You know, we're not owners. And she was just like, thank you. We need to hear this. She's like, I need to hear this today.
Which, you know, brings up a different, another point that I think is very important. It also goes back to, you know, why we do the things we do and what God has planned. We write these episodes to share with you, the fans.
Yes.
And we have you in the forefront of our minds as we're writing these episodes. I'm wondering, even right now, I know I can say this, I'm working on 11-6. And I was working on that this morning. And there were certain conversations in there that I was thinking, will the fans get this? Will they like it? What's going to happen? But at the same time, Steve and I both learned the lesson in a very big way with the production of Mud Pies and Blind Eyes. That perhaps the story, though it is intended to go out to you, the fans, and touch you, that maybe the story is written and told to share with other people in the production. Just as you're saying, that Karen was very, very touched by it and she needed to hear it.
Right, right.
There are people all along the way that are affected.
Right. Often our actors are impacted and ministered to, you know, by the scripts. And that's pretty cool. That's something that is, you know, God's hand is in that because we're thinking... Yeah, like you said, we're thinking, you know, our listeners at the end of this whole thing, you know, will this communicate and impact them? And that definitely has to be our primary motivation.
That's why we're producing it, is for you guys.
Exactly, right. But it's really cool when, you know, our engineer makes a comment about how that, you know, really hits home with him. And the actors, you know, they really resonate with, you know, just the words that, that they are delivering.
And, you know, another episode that this happened with that I remember very specifically was where you said that Roger and Jill, who played John and Mary, were extremely affected. This is not from this season. It's from way back when Brooke was making her own decision.
Yes, about her own whether to go to Peru.
And you told me, you called me up and you said, you know, Roger and Jill were really struggling with that.
Yep.
Not that they didn't believe that that's what should happen. They really did.
Yeah.
But it was such a deep emotional storyline.
It was kind of like convicting for them.
It was. Yeah. And you were you were saying it was very difficult for them as parents to even say, because they're parents.
Right.
To say, here's what you need to do. You know, and, you need to decide for yourself. That's a huge leap. And so I find it interesting that the stories that you guys are listening to, they're affecting people all along the way.
Yep.
And I think that's very cool. And I love that story about Karen.
Yeah, that was cool.
So there's Lori's little bunny trail.
There you go. Now, getting back to another little inside scoop on this one. It was fun when we were brainstorming to think about the party. You know, because it was sort of like that reunion feel, you know, and we're like, okay, here we are kind of wrapping up the season. We're bringing closure. And wouldn't it be fun to, you know, hear from some people that, you know, we haven't heard from in a while.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people have been saying, where's Brooke and Luke and Becca? You know, so we're like, we're going to bring them back. This is going to be their welcome home party. And, you know, we just started like throwing out names from, you know, the last 10 seasons. You know, it was like, well, what about the Fishers? You've got, you know, Uncle Peter and Aunt Kelly, and then there's Patrick and Lauren.
Yes,
you know?
And we haven't heard from them in a while. We do right. know that. We haven't forgotten these people.
Right, and Ben, hadn't heard from Ben in a while, so we'll bring him there. And
we hadn't heard from Luke and Becca.
Yep, along with him. And, you know, then just like the list goes on and on. I mean, we could just keep on rattling them off.
What happened to Luke after he went to college?
Well, I think we're going to find out in season 11. Oh, shoot, there's a tease.
Steve just teased. Write that down on your calendar.
Okay, yeah. We kind of heard from him at the party,
mm-hmm.
and that was really cool. I think, Lori, we've got to pretty much wrap up before we, you know, because we could go on, you know, for the next hour with
That's
this
true,
list.
But we did talk about the Fishers.
Yep.
We did talk about, you know, Freddie Falstaff could be there.
Yes, that's true. But I want to, you know, sign off and and maybe then we can, you know, off air, we can think of the rest of the people because that was
fun. You
can
have a Steve and Laurie showdown.
There you
Who knows more about down Gilead Lane?
Yeah, right. There you go.
But
hey, listen, people.
That's it.
If you want to respond to our questions, if you want to give your opinions, you know, you can always email ccfuncast@gileadlane.org. And, of course, call our comment line, 877-937-5397.
And you can also go to the message boards. Steve and I do hang out there, and we do check things out. And a lot of fans of the exact same thing that you guys are fans of, they all hang out there, too. And that's cbhministries.org. Just go there. You can find there's an entire section for Down Gilead Lane.
The Gilead Cafe or DGL Cafe.
Yes. And Steve's there. He's all ears. I'm bread for a stone. We do hang out. We see what you guys are saying. And so go in there and talk about the things that you guys liked about season 10.
And you can check out our blog, which is funcast.gileadlane.org.
Which means that Lori's going to have to update that.
I was just going to say, in the rare event that we have time to update our blogs, you might find something new there. But go there and check it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we'll try to get that updated.
Or write the next episode of Down Gilead Lane Update.
Write
the next episode.
Yes, exactly. That's what we're always... Yeah. So, yes, if we get the chance and the time to update our blogs, we are trying to do that. So, but that's where to go to check that out. And don't forget the big CBH Summertime Dig is still in progress. There's still a week to go. The contest wraps up the 30th of July. That's in 1 week from when we're recording this, which it'll be less than that by the time you're hearing this. But anyway, it wraps up midnight on the 30th of July. That's Eastern time. So make sure you check that out at cbhministries.org. We're going to announce the big grand prize winner at noon on the 1st of August. So Friday the 1st, we will announce the winner on a podcast that you can download at noon Eastern time. So look for that coming next week.
We're going to have it as live as it can be.
That's right. As close to live as you can get on a podcast. Until then, Lori, I think that wraps it up, right?
For this very special episode of the Chlorine Connection, we're not doing a mailbag this time.
Nope. We'll get to that. We'll get to that sometime after the Summertime Dig announcement.
It works.
Until then, remember, every day needs something Brobdignagian.
Hallelujah.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, here's one for you. Ms. Kopech. She could have come to the party.
Freddie Falstaff.
Okay, yeah, I've heard that one. What about the Donners, the whole Donner family?
Well, you took mine. I was going to say Vincent. And
see, I covered all of them there.
You did.
All right.
What about the school teacher?
Miss Collins. That's her name, Miss Collins.
Collins. Or the reporter?
Janet Gray. She was there.
No, I was actually thinking of the guy. You can go to the CBH website, which is, what is that again?
CBHministries.org. Let's just back that up a little bit. You can say that. Go to our website, which is CCFunCast/... see, I don't even know what the...
Cal, edit here.
Yes, please, Cal. Okay, here it is. Have you and me chanting Brobdingnagian.
Can you do that?
Yes, here's how it sounds. Ready? Brobdingnagian. 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 All right? So we just do that, and we got to do that in unison, you know. And then we'll fade that in, and then we can, you know. And then I can explain that the only way I was able to learn to pronounce the word was by breaking it up like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that cool? All right, here we go.
I'm cool with that. The first minute and 5 seconds of my recording is going to be me laughing at your
cool.
All
right, here we go. All right. One, two, three, and...
Bro-ding-na-gian.
Bro-ding-na-gian.
Bro-ding.
Let's try it again. This is hard to do when you can't see each other.
It is. It's much more difficult than you would think. This is our, right here, we have our blooper in the first minute.
I know.